Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome, everyone.
Great to be here.
So, when you think about the internet, what do you usually picture? Maybe it's the website you check every morning, or the apps all over your phone screen?
Yeah, or just that vague idea of the cloud, right? But those are really just the end products, kind of like the shop windows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you only see the shop window, you miss the entire building underneath. You miss the architecture that actually controls everything.
And that's the key insight we want to explore today. The real power, the real money on the internet. It isn't necessarily with the coolest app. It's often held by whoever controls the hidden structure, the pipes, the rules, the gatekeepers.
Right. So today our mission is to give you a kind of master key to understanding that hidden structure. We're doing a deep dive using Amrit Tawana's framework from the internet stack. It's essentially a map of these hidden layers.
And Tawana's core idea is, well, it's pretty fundamental. The internet isn't just one thing. It's this multi-layered stack, like floors in a building. And understanding how value and power move between those layers, that's absolutely crucial for understanding strategy, economics, everything in the 21st century.
Tawana's background is interesting too, isn't it? He bridges the technical side, the actual architecture, with business strategy. So this isn't just tech talk.
Not at all. He's a professor who really connects those dots. It's about how technical design choices shape markets and competition. And the promise here for you listening is that once you grasp this stack model, things start to make sense.
Yeah, like you stop seeing random headlines, a new app store rule, a fight over 5G tech, and you start seeing them as strategic plays, moves to control specific layers of this stack.
Exactly. It gives you a clear mental model. You can move beyond just reacting, maybe even start anticipating where the next big struggle or bottleneck might pop up. So let's build that model piece by piece, starting right at the bottom.
Okay, let's unpack this architecture. Layer one, the physical foundation. This is the stuff you can, well, actually touch, right?
Pretty much. It's the tangible bedrock. Think subsea fiber optic cables. Get this. They carry something like 99% of all international data.
Wow, 99%.
Yeah. Plus the huge data centers, you know, warehouses full of servers, the cell towers, beaming signals. It's all the heavy infrastructure. Massive, massive capital needed to build it.
Okay, but hang on. If you're a huge company, maybe a telecom giant, and you spent billions laying cables across the ocean. Surely you hold the cards, right? You own the pipes. How does controlling the physical stuff not guarantee controlling the, you know, the value?
That's the fascinating part, and it's a really key distinction Tawana makes. For a lot of players at this layer, it's actually become more like a utility, almost commoditized.
Commoditized, even with billions invested.
Yeah, because the dynamics are tough. The barriers to entry are incredibly high. You need that massive upfront investment. But once the pipe is built, sending one more bit of data costs almost nothing.
Ah, the marginal cost drops near zero.
Exactly. And that just drives prices down. So the companies owning the physical pipes often earn way less per gigabyte than the companies running the apps using those pipes.
Okay, that makes sense. So the economic power starts to float upwards.
Yeah.
Away from the physical assets. And that upward flow is only possible because of the next layer, layer two, the transport layer.
Precisely. Layer two is all about the rules of the road, the protocols. And the big one here is TCP/IP. This layer, honestly, is where the original genius of the internet really shines.
We always hear TCP/IP, but what did it actually do that was so revolutionary? Break it down for us.
Okay, so it's standardized how data moves. TCP/IP basically chops data into little packets, puts an address on them, sends them off, and makes sure they get reassembled correctly at the other end. Critically, the people who designed it made it open and universal.
Open and universal, meaning?
Meaning the person inventing a new application didn't need to care what brand of cable you were using. They didn't need to ask the phone company for permission to send data over their network.
Ah, I see. So the genius wasn't just technical. It was about standardization. It was permissionless.
That's the word Tawana uses. Permissionless innovation. That open protocol fundamentally decoupled building new things from owning the underlying infrastructure. It's why the whole dot-com boom could even happen. Anyone, literally anyone, could launch a website or a service without getting a license from, say, AT&T or BT.
Okay, that really clarifies why layer two was so important.
Yep.
But now, the story changes.
Right, here's the critical pivot. Because those bottom layers, the physical and transport layers, became relatively commoditized and standardized, enabling all that open innovation. The value, the power, it just flowed relentlessly up the stack.
And it ended up concentrating higher up.
Massively concentrated. Which brings us to layer three, the application layer. These are the modern gatekeepers. You could almost call them the new sovereigns of the internet.
Sovereigns. Okay, who are we talking about here?
Think cloud computing providers, Amazon Web Services, AWS, Microsoft Azure, Google Cloud Platform, GCP, or think mobile operating systems, Apple's iOS, Google's Android. They sit right on top of those commoditized lower layers.
And they provide, what, the building blocks for everything else.
Exactly. They provide the essential platforms, the APIs, the operating systems that almost every other digital service relies on. They're less like a simple utility provider and maybe more like a huge exclusive property developer.
That's a great analogy. They own the land, the OS, the cloud infrastructure, and then they set the rules and charge rent for anyone who wants to build a shop, meaning an app, on their land.
Perfect. And unlike layer one, where building another cable costs billions, the marginal cost for them to distribute another copy of their software or handle another API call, it's practically zero. So they have incredible leverage.
And they get to see everything happening on their platform.
They see every trend. They set the taxes, like the App Store commissions. And sometimes they even launch competing services against the very businesses using their platform.
Okay, so layer three controls access. Access to users, access to resources. It's the new choke point. Which leads us finally to the top layer people actually see, layer four, the content layer.
Right. This is the layer you interact with daily. Think Google search, Meta, Facebook, Instagram, Netflix, TikTok. This is where most of the direct economic value, especially from consumers, is captured.
Yeah. By monetizing what?
Attention and data. Their success hinges heavily on network effects. The more users they get, the more valuable the platform becomes to advertisers, to content creators, to other users.
And the genius, strategically speaking, is that they leverage all those commoditized lower layers, the pipes, the protocols, to reach billions of people globally at relatively low cost.
Absolutely. Which lets them capture enormous profits from that attention and data they aggregate. You can see why this creates tension, right? The layer one guys providing the pipes feel like they're getting squeezed.
No wonder. Okay, so this layered structure, it creates some complex dynamics, doesn't it? You mentioned something Tijuana calls co-opetition.
Yes, co-opetition. That's simultaneous cooperation and competition. It's fascinating because the stack forces companies to interact on multiple levels at once.
So you have to think multidimensionally about strategy.
Exactly. Take Netflix and Amazon. At layer four, the content layer, they are fierce rivals. Netflix versus Amazon Prime Video. It's head-to-head competition for viewers.
Right.
But to actually deliver all those movies and shows smoothly around the world, Netflix is one of the biggest customers of Amazon Web Services, which is layer three.
Wow. So Amazon is literally powering one of its biggest competitors.
And making a lot of money doing it. So Amazon competes with Netflix on one layer while enabling and profiting from them on another. That's co-opetition. Strategy becomes incredibly complex. You worry about threats moving up or down the stack.
This isn't just about business strategy then, is it?
Mm.
If controlling layers means power, this inevitably becomes geopolitical. How does a technical blueprint become a national security issue?
Because, fundamentally, control over any critical layer of the stack is 21st century statecraft. It's about controlling flows of information, economic activity, even potentially critical infrastructure.
Like the whole debate around Huawei and 5G.
That's a perfect example. That was a battle squarely focused on layer one, the physical layer. Governments basically decided that allowing a potential adversary to build and control the foundational hardware for next-gen mobile networks was an unacceptable risk.
Why? What's the risk?
Control over the hardware could mean the potential to monitor traffic, to disrupt communication, maybe even shut things down in a crisis. It's about sovereignty over national digital infrastructure.
And then you have things like China's Great Firewall that seems like controlling higher layers.
Absolutely. That's a prime example of controlling layers two and three, the transport and application layers, to filter content, block services, and enforce a national version of the internet. It leads to what some call the splinternet or cyber balkanization.
Meaning the internet isn't one global thing anymore. It's fragmenting along national or ideological lines.
Increasingly, yes. The architecture itself is being reshaped by political forces, moving away from that original ideal of a universally open network.
Okay, let's try and synthesize this. What are the core takeaways for someone trying to make sense of the digital world using this stack model?
I think there are two big ones. First, architecture is destiny. This is huge. The technical design choices made, sometimes decades ago, have profound and lasting consequences. TCPIP's openness enabled the innovation explosion.
And conversely, the choices being made now, like creating walled gardens and app stores.
Right. Those architectural choices are now creating new choke points, potentially constraining innovation in different ways. The design matters.
Right. Architecture is destiny. What's the second one?
Second, platforms are the new choke points, especially those at layer three, the application layer. They control access to users, to data, to computing resources, and they effectively get to tax a huge amount of digital economic activity. Understanding which layer a platform dominates tells you a lot about its power and its business model.
So let's make this practical. If you're listening to this, maybe you're an entrepreneur, a strategist, an investor. How do you use this mental model?
Well, if you're an entrepreneur, the stack is crucial for mapping your dependencies. Say you build an amazing new app, but it only works on Apple's iOS.
Okay.
You need to understand, you are fundamentally dependent on Apple's layer three platform. You live by their rules, their commission structure, their sudden policy changes. That's a massive strategic risk you need to manage from day one.
Right. It forces you to think about platform risk, but it can also reveal opportunities.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Look at Stripe. They didn't try to build layer one cables or a layer four search engine. They saw a gap between existing layers, a messy financial transaction layer.
So they inserted themselves.
Exactly. They built a new developer-friendly financial sublayer that sits on top of old banking infrastructure but makes payments seamless for layer four businesses. They created a new valuable choke point by understanding the stack.
That's a great example. And what about for policymakers? How does this framework help them navigate regulating big tech?
It moves the conversation beyond just shouting, big tech is too big. It allows for much smarter, more targeted thinking. You can analyze which layer is exhibiting problematic behavior.
Like the net neutrality debate.
Precisely. You can frame net neutrality clearly using the stack. It's fundamentally a conflict between layer one, the physical network providers, the ISPs, wanting to charge more for prioritized access to their pipes.
And layer four, the content companies like Netflix or Google, arguing that the pipes should remain neutral, open conduits, largely because their business models depend on that cheap open access.
Right. It clarifies the economic incentives and the points of conflict. Or think about antitrust. If a layer three platform, say an operating system owner, is accused of unfairly promoting its own layer four services.
Like search or maps.
Yeah. The stack helps you pinpoint the specific mechanism of that potentially anti-competitive behavior, using control over one layer to gain an advantage in another. Regulation can then be more surgical, targeting the specific architectural leverage being abused.
That makes a lot of sense. It provides a more structured way to think about these complex issues.
Okay, so as we wrap up, Tuana raises a pretty provocative question based on this analysis, right?
He does. He points out that the early internet, thanks to things like TCP/IP, was characterized by that permissionless innovation we talked about. Anyone could build.
But now?
Now, with so much power consolidated at the application layer, think Apple's App Store, Google Play, AWS,
yay,
you have these incredibly powerful gatekeepers, sovereigns as we call them.
So the question becomes, is that era of truly permissionless innovation ending?
That's the unsettling thought. If almost every significant new digital idea needs to pass through a toll booth operated by one of these platform giants paying their tax and obeying their rules, what does that do to the next wave of innovation? Does every great idea now implicitly require permission, or at least accommodation, from a platform sovereign?
That's a really powerful question to end on. It forces you to think about whether the very architecture that enabled the internet's growth might now be constraining its future in some ways. It's the fundamental strategic tension playing out right now, driven entirely by the dynamics of the stack.
This has been incredibly insightful. Understanding this layered architecture really does change how you see the digital world.
It provides that mental model, that framework for complexity. Hopefully it's a tool listeners can use.
Absolutely. It clarifies so much about competition, value, and power online. A really valuable perspective.
Agreed. Tuana's work really gives you a lens to see the underlying structure, not just the surface activity.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.